Once again, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our guests. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is by chance.
Amen.
There is no such thing as luck. If you believe in luck or chance, then you don't believe in a true and living God. The God of Scripture rules over everything.
Amen.
Everything. Even the dust particles that we see coming through the windows right here. Even that is guided by our Lord.
That's right.
That's why we call Him God.
Yes.
If He couldn't control the dust and everything else with it, then He wouldn't really be God, would He?
Right.
Turn to Deuteronomy 7 if you would, please. We've been looking at a series of studies, and I've titled those studies Divine Declarations. There's only one divine. That's our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one who has all authority. There's only one who has all power, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We've looked at declarations, well, our first one. This is God's Word. He declares this to be His inspired Word. He inspired men to write a love letter to His people. We've looked at the declaration that God declares Himself to be God. We've looked at the declaration that God declares man to be dead. Dead in trespasses and sin, right? We've looked at the declaration that God declares it to be finished. Speaking of salvation. There's nothing that you and I can do to earn it. There's nothing that you and I can do to take away from it. If there was, then it wouldn't be grace. It is finished. This morning, I would like to look at a divine declaration where God declares a people unto Himself. Throughout Scripture, our Lord and Savior makes it very clear. He makes a very clear distinction of distinguishing grace. All the way back to Cain and Abel. You see, that's why Cain killed his brother. He was jealous that God had accepted Abel's offering. Abel came to God with an offering that was supposed to be. An offering that pointed to the true offering, the only offering that God would accept. It wasn't that the offering itself was worth anything, but it's what it pointed to. It pointed to grace. It pointed to mercy. It pointed to our Lord Jesus Christ. The perfect sacrifice. The perfect offering. Whereas Cain showed up with something made of his own hands. God didn't accept it. I will not accept the works of others. Only of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only my Son, the Lord says, does well things well. Cain didn't like that. And that's the way the world is with grace. What do you mean you won't take me? I've done well in this life. Isn't that what they say? I have never hurt anybody. I'm a good person. How dare you say you won't take me? Christ will not, God will not take anyone outside of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
There are none that doeth well. There are none that seeketh after me, He says.
Right.
So Cain just didn't like that idea, and he killed his own brother, for he was jealous that God accepted his offering and not Cain's. The nation of Israel was a picture of God's distinguishing grace set upon a people of His choosing. Are you with me? In Deuteronomy chapter 7, let's look at verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself. That's God's word, folks. I'm not interpreting anything here. That's exactly what He says here, right? The Lord thy God hath chosen thee, speaking of Israel, to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Why? What's wrong with these other people? Did Israel say, okay, you've chosen us? We'll come to you now. No. God chose them. Chose them to be a people unto himself, and he's God. All power in heaven and earth are given unto him. This is not a subject up for interpretation, for it is a clear declaration put forth right here in God's word, the declaration of election, the doctrine, the teaching of election. He says, I have chosen thee to be a special people unto myself.
Yes.
God's electing grace is a truth that all of God's people love. We know what our condition was when God sought us out and called us by his grace to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. We have been given new hearts, the new birth. Anybody here have a part in their own birth? That's why the Lord says you must be born again, because no one here, no one has ever had any part in their own birth. And just like the new birth, to be born again, you have no part in that either. We know what our condition is. Our Lord has brought us down just as he did Israel. 400 years, Israel was tied up in bondage. Can you imagine what that would be like? I mean, we really can't. Especially us here in the United States. We have so much. I've been watching that show, Amazing Race. Excuse me. And they traveled all these other countries. Oh my goodness, folks. We just have no idea what it means to want. Even our poor, even our very poor in this here United States live as kings compared to those around the world. The Lord brought us down at some point in our lives to show us what we need. What we need is a Savior. There is nothing within ourselves. Bankrupt. All mankind are dead in trespasses and sin. We have been given new hearts. New hearts that believe God's word and what it declares. He says, there are none that seeketh after him. Pardon me. Riding a motorcycle. Blame you, Bill. I know, and I believe when the Lord says there are none that seeketh after him, because I remember very clearly. I had no idea what brought me into the church that day. Please.
You may have to take over here, brother.
I remember that I was seeking. I was just seeking my brother Lee, who was sitting right over here. You all know the story. I didn't come here to hear the word of God. I came here to lean on his shoulder. And he said, well, if you're going to do that, you got to wait till after the preacher preaches a message, because church is about to start. I know that I was not seeking him when I first heard the gospel preached, the very gospel that our brother Mike spoke of a moment ago, the same gospel that I've heard from this pulpit every time I've come here. And when I stop hearing the gospel preached, I'm going to stop coming here.
Yes.
I remember the good news of the one who is called Jesus. And he's called Jesus, for he shall save his people. And that's the word of God. That's not my interpretation. I point this out because this week I've been riding with a young man who at one time even was a preacher. Some of you were here last Sunday night and heard the story about, or maybe it was a devotional, but heard the story of the young man I'm riding with in my trucks. And when I asked him if Lazarus was a picture of all of God's people, he said, well, yeah, I can see why you might interpret it that way. That's a good point. It could be interpreted that way. There's no interpretation here. For thou, Israel. That's God's word. I'm not interpreting anything. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. Well, how can you be holy? Only if you're in Christ. If you're one of His. Then that cross that He hung on and shed His blood on was for you. I didn't know it until I was 40 years old. I walked around, just as all the rest of the world does, thinking of myself pretty good. And then the Lord showed me that I needed a Savior. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself. I know that I was not seeking Him when I first heard the gospel. In Matthew 1:21, you don't need to turn there, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Doesn't mean if. There's no if there. There's no offer. Won't you come to Jesus? That's not what it says there at all. He shall save his people. God declares a people unto himself not for anything that they would or would not do, but because that was his desire. Look at verses 7 and 8. The Lord did not set his love upon you. The Lord did not set his love upon you or choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. Isn't that why Christ came to this world? He became a man. God became flesh so that he might go to the tree and sacrifice himself for the sins of his people. What more love can anyone give than to lay down their life for those that you love? Can you wrap your mind around how much God loves his people? He sent His only begotten Son for us. We deserve the wrath of God just as everyone else does. God, help us never to give the impression of being holier than thou. Paul says, I'm the worst of all sinners. I understand that. I see my heart, thank God, you can't. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more than in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all. But because the Lord loved you and because He would keep the oath which had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out of the mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Bondage to Egypt, as Israel, is a picture of God's people. Bondage in Egypt is a picture of God's people before He comes to them. Before He reveals Himself to them. We were in bondage to our own sin. We were born with the nature of sin, bound to our very nature, all of us, even you and I. We cannot change the way we are. A tiger is a tiger. Can a tiger change his stripes? Well, neither can a dead person give himself life. Only God can give life, and He gives life to whom He will. He is the potter. and he makes vessels of mercy as he sees fit. And he also leaves others to be vessels fitted to destruction. That too is also God's word. Turn to Romans chapter 9. This is not man's interpretation. If you cannot read this that we are about to read and understand the truth of God, then God has not revealed his truth to you. Are you with me in Romans 9, looking at verse 17? For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why dost thou yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? God, why have you made me thus? Who are we to say that? You know, God has the power. He could have destroyed everything right as soon as Adam sinned, right? Yet there's a purpose. There's a reason he didn't. God has a purpose for everything. Even the storms that took out all these people on the other side of the country. Or the fires right here in our own backyard. God has a purpose for everything. He either is God of everything or he's not God at all. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Well, here's the answer to that. Hath not the potter power over the clay?
Yes.
The same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? That's God's word, folks. That's not mine. What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? That's God's word. God chose a people he would bestow his grace upon long before anything was created. Our names were written in his book of life before the foundation of the worlds. That's God's word. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, chosen us in him, in Christ, that we should be holy and without blame before him and in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. God the Father made a covenant with God the Son, an agreement or a pact, if you will. God the Son would become flesh and shed his blood willingly. He laid down his life for his people. No one took it from him. Yes, yes, wicked hands crucified our divine Lord, but he was a divine sacrifice. God provided himself a sacrifice. That's what Abraham told his son. Not speaking about that ram that was in the bushes behind him, but speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, for they knew the same Lord Jesus Christ as you and I do. It's the same God. They just looked forward to what he would do as we look back at what he has already done. Wicked hands did crucify our Lord Jesus, but it was by his determinate counsel and will. No one can thwart the will of God. All things are by his purpose and will. So you may ask, well, is God the author of sin? No. No. Sin belongs completely to men. When Adam sinned, he brought the entire mankind into a new nature. I don't know if I'd call it a new nature. That's probably the wrong way to call it. But he showed the nature of men. And from that time on, man has sinned and loved every minute of it. Sin belongs completely to men, but God did allow it. Sin did not catch God by surprise, for he said to Adam, "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die," knowing that God had already seen Adam was going to do it. God allowed sin. Look at verse 23 of chapter 9, will you? "And that he might make known." Why? Why did God allow sin? "That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy."
Amen.
Is the whole world vessels of mercy?
No.
Do you have the authority to make yourself a vessel of mercy?
No.
Somebody had to make a vessel of mercy. The potter. God Almighty. "And that he might make known the riches of his glory."
Yes.
Folks, if you have Christ, you have everything.
Amen.
If God comes to you in your wicked self and shows you the need of a Savior and points you to his Son, the Lord Jesus, then everything else of this world will mean nothing. I like that song, "This World Is Not My Home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." I've heard those who say, that there are more treasures for some than there are for others in heaven. And my only thought to that is, if you have Christ, what more do you need?
Amen.
I've heard those who have come to this very service, in this very building, and say, "This is not enough. I need more. I need programs for the children. I need a body of people who help the poor. I need this. I need that." If you need more than Christ, if Christ is not all to you, then what? "And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory." Our subject is a chosen people prepared unto glory. Not for any reason in us, but according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. God's people are accepted only in the beloved. God's people are accepted only in Christ Jesus. It is because he has paid the price completely.
Yes.
It is finished. We are washed in his blood. Our sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. He remembers our sin no more. Vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Election is God's word, not mine. He declares a people unto himself. Salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. Are you still with me in Romans 9? Look at verses 11 through 16. "For the children, being not yet born," speaking of Jacob and Esau, "neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. That's God's word, folks. Amen. Not of works, but of him that calleth.
Amen.
It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's God's word. Now, another thing this young man has said to me is that was up to interpretation. You could interpret it that way. Many, many parts of the Bible are up to interpretation. Do you know the Bible says that the interpretation of man is what leads us to destruction?
Yeah.
There are those who have taken this word here, right here in Romans 9, and they are saying that that does not mean that. That's what the devil said to Eve. God didn't mean that. Oh yeah, he said you'll surely die, but that's not what he means. You're not really going to die. And the devil was kind of telling the truth. Their bodies didn't die at all, did they? Their spirits died. They were dead spiritually. They say, well, what God really means here, because God doesn't hate. That's not true either. And I'll show you why in a moment. God just loves one less than the other. They've actually gone to, if you look up that word hate here, it'll show you that that's what that means in the dictionary. But also in the dictionary it says inserted, which means somebody came by later and inserted that interpretation into the dictionary. We change words like that all the time in our dictionaries, don't we? That's not what the original words. What does it say there? As it is written. That's speaking of back in the word, book of Malachi. Hold your place there in Romans 9. Turn back to the book before Matthew. I want you to see this for yourself. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord of Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau. The original language, that word hated is not the same word hate. That word is the despising word. You cannot interpret that word any way but what it means. Exactly. Our Lord cannot look upon sin. And he did not look upon Esau through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the blood of his son. He loved Jacob because Jacob was in Christ. His name was written in the book of life before anything was made. That's God's word. You cannot interpret that word hated any other way than hated perfectly. Does God do anything less than perfect? Again, if he did, then he wouldn't be God, would he? Back to our verse, our scripture. Where were we? 23 through 21. No, 11, that's right. I got mixed up there, so thank you for bearing with me. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Just like you said in your prayer there, Russ. Excellent. You see, God worked that out. Russ had no idea where I was going with today's Bible study. God put that in his heart to say that. Oh, how thankful that I am that God has mercy at all for his son's sake. You see, this is the reason why is I need mercy. I'm not holier than thou. I'm the most unworthy person I know. And if it wasn't for God's electing grace, God forbid that I would go through this world, through this life, not knowing so, and go on to stand there one day and say, well, haven't I done good things, Lord? Don't I deserve to be saved because of what I've done? The Lord's going to say to those people, be gone from me, you workers of iniquity. I have never known you. But to those who are covered in the loving, electing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, have nothing to fear. For the Lord will look at them and see the blood of his Son, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, our sacrifice, our substitute, he who went to the cross for those that he loves and paid the perfect price for our sakes. God will say, well done, thou faithful servant. Brother Mike, do you have anything you'd like to add before we close in prayer?